The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Ahmudu, and welcome to Health Chat. Nigeria has reached a milestone. The country has been removed from the list of polio endemic countries. The announcement by the World Health Organization was made at a meeting of the Global Polio Eradication Initiative in New York. Nigeria has gone more than a year without a case of polio. 3 years without cases are required before it can be declared polio-free. What did it take for the country to get here? Well, we'll discuss this and more on the program today. Joining us via phone from Lagos, Nigeria is Mr. Ado Abdullahi, Head of Primary Healthcare Advocacy and Social Mobilization, Community Health Services Department with the National Primary Healthcare Development Agency, and a member of Nigeria's Polio Free Torch campaign. Mr. Abdullahi, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. And let me remind our listeners that today's show is pre-recorded, so you cannot call in to ask questions. However, we have noted some questions from our Facebook page that we will share with our guests. And we will discuss Nigeria's efforts in fighting polio in a moment. But first, Cameroon is ending a polio vaccination campaign against a backdrop of growing resistance, even though officials say 7% of Cameroon's children are still at risk of contracting the crippling disease. VOA's Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports.
43-year-old Clarice Tomta has refused to allow vaccination agents to inoculate two of her children, both under 5 years of age. She describes the anti-polio campaign as unnecessary. She says it is becoming suspicious when Cameroon organizes so many vaccination campaigns against polio, knowing fully well that many mothers are educated enough and master their vaccination calendars. She says many more Cameroonians die of poverty and should be given more consideration. Dr. Nuna Desiree of Cameroon's expanded vaccination program says despite the resistance, which he says is a result of misinformation, fear and suspicion, they will not stop until they vaccinate the 5 million children age 5 and under they are targeting.
Malgré la multitude des campagnes que nous avons organisées, il est toujours resté plus
he
de
says,
7%.
In spite of the multitude of inoculation campaigns they have organized, more than 7% of Cameroonian children are not vaccinated, far more than 5% limit the World Health Organization recommends. He says all children they have not been able to vaccinate are at risk of contracting polio. In 2014, the WHO listed Cameroon among the 10 countries with active wild polio virus and ranked it among the top 4 countries posing the greatest threat of exporting the crippling virus to other countries. In March of 2015, Cameroon attained the status of a non-polio exporting country after it hit the 6-month mark without a new case. But the WHO says the Central African state is still considered a high-risk nation with pockets of resistance. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
So, Mr. Abulai, again, welcome to our program. And we heard the report on Cameroon's effort in ending polio. However, there are some resistance there in terms of continuing the vaccination campaign. Nigeria went through this challenge in the past, which was one of the reasons that the country has remained polio endemic. Today, we have the good news. Nigeria has been removed from the list of polio endemic countries. Tell us how it makes you feel. What is your reaction to this news?
Well, it is great, actually. It's very, very important. It's a very good news. Every Nigerian is happy to hear this. Every fact of the communities within the country, we are happy, actually.
Yeah.
Because the effort now put by everybody had paid, and we're really happy about that.
That's fantastic. For someone like you who has been working tirelessly to make sure that polio is pushed out of the country, it must really be a day of celebration.
It is really a great one, a good day. Yes, really celebrating, and we're still celebrating.
That's
and true. The big one will be 2017, when we are finally out.
Yes. So you are you optimistic that you will do 3 years without another case to fight another 2 years without another case to be declared polio free?
Yeah, we are very very optimistic because the present government is really doing a lot. It's doing a lot to see that the record continues. We sustain this particular achievement. The gains that we have achieved will be sustained. We'll hold it and get a better result later.
Okay. Now let's talk about, again, we want to understand a little more in terms of where the country came from and what it went through and how did we get here? Because it has been a long journey, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it is really, yeah.
So what did it take for Nigeria to get here today and be removed from the list of polio endemic countries?
Yeah, actually, a lot had been done. We put in a lot of things. The government, the present government, even the previous tried, but the present one is also determined to see that polio is out of the country, out of the continent at large. And a lot of things had been done by the government, the partners, that the development partners, actually. When I say government, there are so many segments of the government. Think of the traditional leaders, mm-hmm. the religious leaders, other community members. Everybody putting his best to see that this is a reality, and we really achieved it.
So,
and I really recommend the ERC members for putting their best as well. And then the ED, who is in charge of the National Federal Agency, really give his best to see that this is a reality as well.
You say a lot has been done, so obviously, for many different people, organizations, and the likes. Let's talk about a little more specifically, because although there were three countries, up until now at least, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Nigeria, that were still and polio endemic, now Nigeria has been removed from the list. In Mali, there have been two cases of polio that were reported not long ago. So what can a country like Mali and even other countries, Pakistan and Afghanistan, that you've been on the list, you've been on the same list with, what can these countries learn from Nigeria? Let's go into the specific details. When you say that a lot has been done, can you tell us, for example, let's start with the government, the role of the government in the fight against polio?
The government has done a lot, actually. All the participants who are really going, the foot soldiers, you know, who are really going house to house to see that every child is being immunized, the government took care of that. And all the allowances, everything, whereby they involve the religious leaders, the traditional leaders, and other people within, so that everybody is on deck, so that we can be able to see this particular day come to reality. The government has done a lot, actually.
Okay.
All the support needed, the government gave it.
Okay, so a lot. Can we say then that the government created the platform and also was a key player in this you know, effort?
Right, exactly. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, when it comes to the international community, what were their involvement?
Well, they really involved a lot because, let's say, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Dangote Foundation, for example, we have the CDC, we have the EU sign. We have so many of such that are really serious. These are international donors, which they really assisted. GFID also is there. and a lot were there. When they go, they come through WHO and UNICEF in most cases, and the government. Gabi personally played a lot as well. Gabi, Zero Vaccine Innovation Alliance, they really assisted also.
Okay. And Gavi, yeah. Gavi is a vaccine organization. So how do they help in terms of donating vaccine or subsidizing?
They have given the vaccine, and also they see that this vaccine they reach the particular child that is needed to be immunized. All the training of the personnel to do the work, they undertook that one. And they also assist in financing the people, the workers that are going to assist. I mean, they give the vaccine to the children.
Now, how was... Nigeria is a big country with many, many people there. So what was the strategy in terms of ensuring that every single child has been reached?
Yes. We have some strategies, actually. We started with reaching every ward and then reaching every child. And then we make sure that anybody who is in a particular community is vaccinated by this particular personnel. And normally we recruit people from the environment within the community. They are the ones who are really given the vaccine so that we don't have much problem. And then you find that, yes, this really fits. The business leaders will go and tell the people. The traditional leaders also, who are the custodians of the communities, also are involved. Every now and then, all of them. Everybody really played their own part, which really, did a lot.
And the role of the local community, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. Well, thinking of the traditional leaders, where you have the ward head, the village head, the district head, really in the communities, they are in charge of the whole community. Whoever is born, they are aware. Whoever is coming into the community, they are aware. So we have a check and balance that the people who are now within. So when you can focus the particular activity that you are going to undertake, say the vaccines that you require, this will help us a lot to do the micro plan so that we can be able to see, yes, whatever we need in this area is sufficient. And we send it to national headquarters through the state, and then we get these particular vaccines and then the allowances of the workers.
Okay. Now, at this point, when you look back at everything that has been put into place to make sure that this result really came at the end, when you look back, what would you say that were some of the lessons learned?
Are you comparing the present and the previous?
I'm sorry?
Are you comparing the present and the previous strategy or what?
Yes.
So we are advancing. When you do something that you didn't see you, then you try to get another strategy that will work out for you. Because initially when it was the NPI period, less involvement of the traditional leaders and the religious leaders, you know what that was a mistake. And then thereafter, we came up, then we realized that we have to use this particular community to get each and everybody. So when the NPI was merged with the National Crime Agency, actually so many strategies came up, and we were really happy with that. That's how this achievement actually is at hand. And then the ITC and the ERC, they're always meeting every now and then, changing the strategy. If this one does not work, then we go to another one. And then at the end, we have achieved what we are now having.
Now, when you look at the present state of the country, obviously, as we mentioned earlier, the country is no longer on the list. So how do you ensure that this result is sustained for the next 2 years to make sure that you are declared polio free? What does it take? What will it take moving forward?
Yeah, we're intensifying more efforts. Our borders are going to be checked and all the hospitals, general hospitals, particularly where by children who are coming, whether they are bacteria or not, we check and see. Even if the child comes to see somebody not being admitted, they come to see relatives, we make sure that child is vaccinated. And we are now actually reaching every child. We are intensifying more efforts so that we sustain this particular gain that we have achieved.
So in terms of...
we're not going to relent on our efforts, actually.
Okay.
And the president promised that, yes, he's going to do that. And we know he's going to do that.
Okay. So what do you perceive as the necessary final push? Even globally, when you look at the global picture, although you've worked in your country specifically to step up efforts and everything, there are still two countries remaining that are polio endemic. So when you look at the big picture globally, as someone with experience fighting this disease, what do you think it will take for the final push?
Well, I've already said it, that we are going to intensify more efforts. All our strategies are now going to be more intensified, actually. So we really, and we know the government is going to do that, and the international partners also will also do that, I know.
Okay. Yes. All right, so Mr. Abdai, and we are going to let you go very soon, but we wanted to get your take on other countries in Africa. We've seen some outbreaks, like I mentioned, Mali recently in Mali, and the WHO has also warned that given that the Ebola outbreak has really impacted the healthcare systems of these countries that were affected, this could be, it's a warning that they really need to step up efforts to watch what polio could be, to prevent polio from spreading in that region. So what kind of advice would you share with your colleagues from these countries that had undergone the Ebola outbreak and were perhaps not able to continue keep up with a polio vaccination campaign?
Well, actually, they have to be serious. Because it's not an easy thing to say you have eradicated something just overnight, but you have to intensify, actually, the effort. Maybe they can come and... during the Ebola period, I know some people were in that country to teach or to help them so that try to get rid of that particular cause. So... in the same thing, now we are going to intensify this, and then they need to also come down and then make sure that every child in that particular country is, you know, the eligible children are vaccinated. And we also did that. Somebody asked me, so what have you done? And I see the government of Nigeria is so friendly. All the governments around, and we can be able to assist in being the training or given the other thing that we use, if they can use it, fine.
Okay. And so any final words or messages you'd like to share with given the good news and the way forward?
I think we have to be grateful to the government. You understand?
Yes.
They've done a lot. The international development partners have done a lot. And we are really grateful to them. And then our own community members, that the religious, the traditional leaders, they did a lot. And the workers, the police soldiers who are really, you know, doing the job, need to be commended. And I believe they are all doing it, not because of, but because we want to see that Nigeria is free and we are free. And we definitely, inshallah, we are going to make it.
So... You talked about all the different key players in this effort. What about the role of the media? Because communication was a key aspect also of this crisis and this campaign, I will say. Isn't it accurate?
Like I told you, I said much earlier that, for example, Gabby assisted in the social validation activities, that we train all the particular personnel for each and every state of the world. Federation, more especially where this particular program was going and then is at the polio. And they assisted in training the people. So, Special Aviation called all the media people, we train them, and then we give them the jingles that they continue blowing, you know, to all the people, telling them, educating them, making them aware that this is a problem, this is where we are, and everybody needs to be, you know, involved. And so the media helped a lot. They did a lot, actually.
Okay.
And we had a training for them in all the states, and they really participated in the print and electronic media.
Okay, Mr. Abdullahi, who is a member of Nigeria's Polio Free Touch campaign, joined us today to discuss the latest news, the milestone that the country has reached in terms of being removed from the list of polio endemic countries. And you're listening to Health Chat. We will take a short break and come back to continue the program. Don't go away. Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing Nigeria's successful polio eradication efforts. Earlier, we spoke with our phone guest from Lagos, Mr. Ado Abdullahi, who is a member of Nigeria's Polio Free Touch campaign. Now, I'm going to share a discussion I had with a polio survivor, Paralympic champion, and vaccine advocate. His name is Dennis Ogwe. And Dennis elaborates on his experience as a polio survivor and his efforts in raising awareness against polio. Take a listen.
Here in the U.S., most times, diseases such as polio have been eradicated long time ago. So when you talk about polio, people still ask, especially the younger generation, that, hey, what's polio? And I'm here to advocate that polio still exists. Polio is still real. I'm a living example. And we have to look at those children back in Africa and a lot of developing countries that are still being affected by this disease called polio.
You contracted polio at the age of 3.
Yes.
When actually you went to the hospital for malaria. What do you remember from that?
I have flashes here and there, especially when I was in the hospital. I had a little bit of glimpse of it. I could remember when I had malaria, when the nurse was injecting me. I kind of have a vivid recollection about that. But one thing that stuck in my mind was, I remember myself on a hospital bed. I remember myself trying to teach myself how to walk again. I remember myself using like a little, a three-legged thing that little kids use to push to see how I can walk in my balance. I remember the crutches or the calipers they put on my leg. I remember myself on a wheelchair. I remember kids making fun at me, you know. I remember not doing things that I normally can do at that age. There are a lot of things that come to my mind. At school, I remember me being the only one in the school ground, like trying to play. Soccer is a very big sport. I'm the only one that have a disability there at that time. When I have that recollection, it kind of touched my heart because I know that even as much as I went through all that time, that a lot of kids that didn't have the privilege that I had. So those are the kind of memories that come to me, and that want me to even do more to help those people that are voiceless, that here, since you can see, feel, touch me and see this is real, that hopefully we can advocate and we're going to get more resources, especially to Nigeria, to end polio once and for all. Shot at Life through United Nations and Rotary Club and a lot of clubs have done a lot of things towards that. But right now, we just have that last push to make sure we eradicate polio once and for all.
Nigeria is one of the African countries, if not the only African country, that remain polio endemic over the years. What is your struggle in terms of the outreach? Do you advocate on the ground in Nigeria, or do you work here in the United States hoping that some of the work that you do here will have a positive impact in your country?
Yes, that's what I'm doing. I'm here right now, and some of the works I'm doing now is going to have a positive impact back at home. And one of the challenges I know that we still have, it was there back then, is the educational, the awareness piece of it. On the forefront, like in the north, that's where it's, it's predominantly in the north, and mostly it's lack of education and some of the religious beliefs to like counter that. And that's, I think that's one of the big problem that we're trying to like get to. And especially to go to some of those remote villages that don't have access to communication, to push that down there is going to be some of the challenges that is on the ground now that is going on. But with what has been done so far, I think we have made a big progress. So we're just pushing to make sure we just finish it up once and for all.
Now, today you are a Paralympian champion. You've won many, many trophies. What was the turning point? When did you go from being a polio survivor, perhaps feeling sorry for yourself, to becoming a competitor and participating in competition, sports competition, and winning, actually?
Well, I think it starts, they say charity begins at home. I think it started from my house. I'm one of 11 siblings, from one mother, one father. So that is the competition started right there, you know? So there in Africa, most of the thing you have to like work hard to earn it. And my dad inducted education into us, even though he too just had like a seventh grade education. My mom never had education, but instilled that I can do in us. And out of 12 of us, my dad have seen 11 of us through college. So that's a very, very big kind of step, looking at it from that aspect. But to your question too, I think that push came from when I want to play with my peers. And I told you, soccer is one of the big sports back in Nigeria then. So when I go to play and the kids see me coming in my wheelchair, they run to higher ground, so I don't come to play with them, kids being who they are. And sometimes some of them seize my crutches, because if I don't want to use a wheelchair and I want to like stand, they seize my crutches and dare me to take a couple steps. So by so doing that, I take one, two steps, fall down with bruises. But then while I was doing that, my right leg was getting a little bit stronger. And those are the kind of things I was doing that was keeping me very competitive in what I do. And then I went into sports.
What keeps you going today?
What keeps me going today that I'm so happy that I'm privileged that United Nations under Shattered Life is giving me the privilege to do is to use my voice. That is very key. Of course, I don't have all the millions and dollars like to put into things like this, but I believe God has blessed me so much and took me out of that poverty and put me where I am that I can use my voice to educate people, one, and show people where I've come from, where I am today. And I know that I'm not taking all the glory. A lot of people have helped me in the course of my life to be where I am today, but also to give that hope to a lot of people that no matter what your circumstances is, especially those affected with polio, that there's always going to be something they can do for their lives. You know, go to school, hopefully, and get an education if they can, or learn a trade, so that at the end of the day, let their disability not be an impediment to what God has blessed them with. Because I believe everybody has a talent one way or the other, so they can use their talent in various ways.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Health Chat. We thank our guest, Mr. Ado Abdullahi, with Nigeria's Polio Free Torch campaign. We also thank Paralympian champion Dennis Ogbe for taking the time to share his experience with us. For more on today's show, log on to our website at voanews.com/health. Also log on to facebook.com/voahealthchat and let's keep the conversation going. We thank all our affiliates in Africa and around the world for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Linor Nodu, in Washington with producer Jackson Bunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.